Choices all about you, all that we should move out of your side. Cause we got a vibe. Come and sit back and enjoy the ride. Been a real long time since I've seen sunshine through the darkest skies. Love it when you try. Come and sit back and enjoy the ride.
When I tried it my way, it was all wrong. All the friends that I had, they were long gone. Did the best that I could, tried to be strong. Thought about letting go, but I held on. Now I need you to choose how I should move. By your side, that's the win, and we can't lose. Still I'ma need your strength when I get weak. So you can drive, I'ma ride in the backseat. Go where you take me,
yeah.
I know I won't always understand,
yeah.
Where we're going, but I'll take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it get confused,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose. Take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confusing,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose.
It's all for you. We should move. I decide, cause I'm tired of fighting. I'm sit back and enjoy the ride.
And it's been so long,
been a real long time
since I've seen sunshine
through the darkest
sky.
Our nature, our spirit man. you know, and who and what we really are in his fullness. And it is the reason for the complexity of life and for all the events that involve and for all the teachings and the challenges of life. They all serve the purpose to help in making mold an eternal being. This is not about just be good, go to heaven. You were born by accident. You were called intendedly into existence by God. But see, you have to understand who we are and what we are. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, we do praise you, we do bless you, we do honor you, because it is a marvelous opportunity and privilege that we have to come to you. We thank you that at any time of the day, we can come before you with our questions, amen, with our requests, with our supplication, amen, and definitely with our praise. Lord God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless and increase the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory, the inheritance that you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us to have a full understanding of the love of Christ, the length, the width, the breadth, the depth of the love of Christ, which exceeds all understanding of man, which we see demonstrated. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask us that you bless us with the knowledge of your will this day. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out and be fruitful, that we can be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know, I feel a need every now and then to go back and explain why this program is called Training Day. And you know, with God, even in my case, it's like when you lend your mind and let him guide, he begin to reveal more. Because, you know, when you study the scripture, you'll find things that seem out of place sometimes and don't add up. And I've watched, and even with some of the, what they would call theologians, they've, to me, missed some things. I think I want to believe they prayed and asked God, but you know what I see? Something as simple as in Genesis 1:26, and it says he made them in 1:26 or 1:28, Genesis in that area anyway. He made man in his image and likeness. Okay, they are not the same thing. The image is what we see. The outside is what everybody see. The likeness is our capabilities, how we function, how the spirit man operates the body, and not the other way around, even though that is the case in a lot of people's cases. You know, you see somebody 900 pounds, their body is controlling them. It's an entity. It's a living entity. Make no mistake. You know, a statement that stood out over the years that I heard back in the 70s from a college professor was that what it takes God to run the universe is what it takes man to run the body. You are actually in charge of every cell. That's tremendous. If you stretched them out, they'd wrap the earth about 50 times. You know, that's tremendous capability. You got to understand that. Now, God is looking at the full level of man. We are not there yet. I know they like to think they are because they made these little trinkety toys. They ain't nothing. Jesus teleported and he didn't even need no equipment. That's in John 20:19, verse 19 and verse 26. And Philip transported. And I know people debate that. I've heard that debate over the years. See, but they're setting limits on how God does things and what God intends to do. And they didn't ask God. I recently had a conversation with somebody, and everything stopped at that question. Did you ask God about it? Because at the end of the day, that's the one person you're going to have the answer to. Now, What I'm talking about in the covenant is I have a list of criteria, of seven criteria that can cause trouble in your life. Or I'll put it like this. It started out with a series of seven reasons for prayer failure, seven causes of prayer failure. But it, not only that, it's promise failure, prayer failure, because, see, you, when you start out as a babe in Christ, okay, just like we don't, I don't expect a baby, amen, to manage their lives the same way an adult does, but when you've been at this 20 years, you're not going to get away with what a new Christian get away with. I cannot get away what the new Christian have. I've heard several major men of God, they talk about it. They have seen and experienced too much. You don't get away with it. Why? Because you're not a fully developed person. You're not a fully developed person. I know you may think you are with your 15 degrees, but you know, but you're not. I'm telling you. The degrees say you started the process. You ain't finished it. I'm telling you. You have not finished it. Why? Because what I graduated with in 1978 is the equivalent of is a setback compared to this, a person that takes the same classes now. They're learning something different, more of what I did, what we were not taught back then. So there's no end to learning. If there's an end to learning, you're probably on the other side in heaven or hell. That's the only time it ends, all right? Because you're not omniscient. You're cognition, okay? You don't know everything. You know some things, and then in part, okay? But now, so the covenant is first off, people, I've heard people over the year, I've talked to people, and they tell me prayer don't work. Well, then the question comes is, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then they look at me funny, like, what that got to do with it? It has everything to do with it. If you do not have a covenant agreement with God, God legally cannot answer your prayer unless he finds a loophole, which he has created, such as getting a Christian to pray for you to get it done. God will always try to do the good thing, okay? He won't stop, because I can remember. I mean, he won't stop trying to bless you because you have not accepted, because you haven't made that step, because just like a man would try to win a woman by doing things for her, God would do the same thing, okay? But Satan can't oppose it. He can oppose it, see? So you got to understand, this is how the world is set up. Now, if you can't agree with that, then it's going to be your problem, because as we close this age, okay, this age is closing. The preaching of the gospel is coming to an end, okay? Christ is going to go to sit down and relax. I mean, he's going to come back, rule this planet from Jerusalem. There won't be no preaching of the gospel during that 1,000 years. If you ain't saved by then, you ain't going to get saved. And ain't nothing you could do about it, all right? Except wait that 1,000 years out. And that's got to be horrible, sitting in hell waiting to go to the lake of fire. Man, that's got to be. When this is an easy trick. Easy. Man, please. This is the best part. All right. So anyway, all right, you got to have a covenant for God. You got to forgive. That's the other part. You can't practice what God calls sin, because man calls, there are things man don't call sin that God calls sin. Man calls transgenderism, God calls transgenderism abomination, because you're reversing what he created, okay? But anyway, you got to control your mouth. You can't just say anything and out your mouth. You got to be obedient and worship with tithe. The world is paying for that right now. They can holler all they want. Look at the food prices. I see eggs at $13 a carton. Let me tell you, the only way you're going to get around that is you got to be able to access, get with God to access increasing funds to meet your need. He gonna be working surgically. He's going to be working surgically. That means that you as an individual going to have to get your need met the same way they did back in the Bible day. That's why all that was written. God got people's need met surgically during the midst of a famine. He was able to give Isaac a 100-fold return, see, in the midst of a famine, in the midst of a drought. He was able to get his ground saturated. You know, I know a farmer, amen, Charles Capps. That's what he. That's why he teaches such a great teacher of faith. He could get rain on his farms when everybody else wasn't getting none. This is where you're going to have to be. And if you're not in Christ, there's going to be a lot of mad people. The Bible even says that in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be a lot to that. And the devil's going to step in and try to push him further away. And then, boom, the rapture's going to happen. Okay? And you got to be obedient. Now, this is another one. You must serve God in prayer. If you've been a Christian, I'm going to give you some leeway. You've been a Christian for 5 years, and you go every day, and you never pray for anybody. James 4:17 said, he that knows to do good and don't do it, that's sin, and that covers a lot of territory. We are the only ones with this authority to pray for people to get saved and delivered. Amen. I mean, that's another whole topic in and of itself. And you must be in pursuit of the will of God. People going to church 30 years and never serve in any capacity, you just do. If you look back at the rest of the list, that's a composite of all the things in that list. You're not in pursuit of the will of God if you don't do things his way, how he say, when he say. And that's not going to be easy. Okay? You know, this is what all this is about anyway. So what I'm showing is this we just in the Mosaic covenant. We done covered the Adamic covenant. Actually, it's a covenant between us and God, but it's an era which God advances, gives more revelation as he goes, because he did not. He waited 3,500 years to give out these commandments and to break them down and analyze them like he's going to do. We're going to read through some of them today. And it isn't I was just going to read the Ten Commandments and move on to the next covenant, which is the Davidic covenant. And God like, excuse me, who calling the shots? You know, I just took my little hat off and on it it says, Jesus is my boss. That's how this goes. So, but I'm enjoying it because I get to get the revelation. Trust me. If I am out of alignment in any aspect, I'm the first one to get told to get myself together. Gotta recall events when I didn't do or say something right. You know, nobody escapes it, but don't feel bad, and you should feel good. Trust me. Everybody takes a fall, okay? Why? You got an adversary. I believe it's in Zechariah 3:2, it said, Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord, and Satan at his right side ready to resist, okay? He does that. That's what he does. That's why he exists. But now, here is why God has us, teachers and preachers, to help educate you so that you can recognize when he is doing that by giving you enlightenment on the word, okay? Because if you don't know the word, you're just going to fall for it. See, because he'll trick you and think that you'll think it's your mind when it's really his. You got two minds, the mind of Satan and the mind of Christ. I know you think you got your own mind. Trust me, there's only two, okay? All right, so we had got up to an area that I thought was significant and interesting. Last time we were talking about you shall do no murder. And that, because I have seen pastors lie on God, that's what it is, okay? If you don't tell the truth, because if you read Exodus 20:13, and then don't read back up with Exodus 20, the next chapter, verses 12 through 25, you're not going to be known as a truth teller. You're going to be known as deceptive. And I have heard with my own ears a pastor say that God don't support war and killing. But then you go to the book of Numbers, and it starts out with a draft. First time I read that, I'm like, man. That's why I knew from when once God became a revelation into my life, a real person and not a religion, that I could not rely totally on man. Now, you got to belong to a church. That's another pursuit of the will of God. You do need to belong to a church. God created pastors. This was not somebody's idea of to start a religion. This didn't happen at the Council of Nicaea where they decided, no, God gave men pastors. God gave pastors. That's in Ephesians 4:11. He gave apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. God did. And if you got a problem with that, take it to him. And if you disobey him, trust me, this is what's going to happen. God is sitting there like, I told you. I put it in print. And you ignored it. Because, see, you wondering why your life struggling so much, making $300,000 a year and you got $900,000 worth of debt. That's crazy. I know this is a reality. Believe me. Believe me. I used to serve warrants on people that it was just incredible. You can't, why? Because they leave the door open to Satan in ignorance. They choose to be ignorant. Go sit up in a church and sit up in a word-teaching church with a pastor teaching the word like Pastor O, walk out of there like a dummy and just forget it. Like James said, like a man look in the mirror and leave and forget what he saw in the mirror. All right. So we talked about it. So you want to be clear on this. Why? Because it's amazing that I heard another man of God speaking on this issue. The fact that he said the very things that I was saying, the early church did not have this revelation. I just recently, last year, bought it. I managed to get access to a Bible, the first Bible. Now, it only had 12 books. They hadn't been collected yet. The 66 books we have wasn't collected till later on, to about another 60, 70 years before books started to show up. Okay, so they didn't know, and then they didn't know how. We got it in the fullness. They didn't know how to even access God. I mean, they knew a little. They knew to pray, but they didn't know it like we know it today. So we have no excuse, all right? So they didn't know today, so they just, I mean, you done made the deal, you know, they got, thrown to the line, and they're like, well, this only going to last a little while, you know, after you chew me up, I'm going to heaven, I mean, but they didn't know, and then they probably didn't have the resource to build an army and all that, but they did begin the war, because if they had not went to battle, believe me, we would not know what we know today. You know, well, I remember a pastor, his name was Albie, and he went to war. He went to war with the Catholic Church, and God gave him strategies like he did Abraham, and he took them down, and they held out until we got the word like we got it now. All right. So it ain't. If somebody come in your house, defend yourself. No, listen. Turn the other cheek when somebody steal your lunch at work. All right? That's not for everything. Okay, people take these things, because Jesus told in Luke 22:36, he told his disciples to arm themselves, because he knew what if they had killed all of them? We would not have the word today. See, put some logic to it. God got sense. Satan's still around. Nah, during 1,000 years, you won't have to worry about that, because Satan will be locked up, okay? But he ain't locked up now. All right. So we talked about what it is to murder, how to protect yourself. That you know, the young men that did not go to war, you got married, they stayed home. That's still today. Well, I don't know if it still is or not, but it was during Vietnam. If you got, they sent you a draft notice and you just got married, you did not have to go immediately. You could tell them, you know, they give you a deferment so you could, you know, do your thing with your wife. But after that, it was like, go get busy. And if you smart, you see through the Bible that when they sought God, God gave them strategies to overcome the enemy. All right. So we talked about that, and again, because it has a purpose in life. Let's face it, it is not heaven. Amen. All right. So we're going to go on from there and go to the next one, which I think is very interesting and critical, and that's in Exodus 20:14, and it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. All right. You know, it's amazing. I watched the transition in, I think, 1983. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up, but it ain't that deep that I really took the time to look it up. But it used to be a felony in the state of Michigan. It is no longer a felony. And that is because that was just part of a, we're part of an era where they began to, everything that was connected to God, the godless, began to go to court and demand their right to be unbelievers. And the court granted them their rights. Now, mind you, the people that wrote the Constitution did not have that mindset. They're like, you don't like God, okay, that's good. But, I mean, because it doesn't really matter. You're not going to be exempt from the penalty of it. You know, you're not going to get to do it and die and go to heaven. That ain't going to happen. You've been deluded and deceived to thinking you die and that's it. Well, you know, you even science now realize that ain't the case, okay? So, but what is he talking about? And one of the reasons is well, if you look into this, it really gets deeper. First off, you're mixing spirits. I was recently in a conversation, and it's a statement that I frequently made. You know, if you go in the morgue, you see all them bodies in there. You can pile a male body on top of a female body, and that's it. Nothing happened. So the sin in and of itself is between the spirits. Okay. As a matter of fact, because I want to read, and I want to read it from the KJV because you know, Matthew chapter 19. Verse 1, and I, you know, again, as I was taught by my teacher, pay attention to detail. And now I'm starting at verse 5. Anyway, it says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, talking about Jesus, talking to the Pharisees came to Jesus, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Okay, that's how they came out the factory. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And they say unto him, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorce and then to put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, pay attention to this. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her who is put away, does commit adultery. All right. First thing I want to let you know, that is not the unpardonable sin. Okay? If you've been divorced and you've been remarried, okay, that you but when you ask God for forgiveness for anything, it covers everything, okay? But look at the detail. One of the things that caught my attention when I read this was that the innocent person, okay, the innocent person is charged with adultery. And I asked God about that. That's when he explained to me that it is a spiritual aspect of it. Because it links your spirit and your DNA with the other person, and people can detect that. That's probably why people get caught, because you can't hide that. Because it's amazing that how certain entities. You ever had somebody sneak up behind you and yet you could detect they were there? And that's because you could detect their spirit. And that could be in the darkness. You know, it's amazing how we are made in that manner. And see, and this is the thing that God wants to get us to understand, that we are as spirits, and that there are many other spirits out there, and we contaminate ourselves when we mix with them. Because if you will notice, that he also said that who accepted me for fornication. And that's because, let me read Jesus' commentary on that. And the disciples said unto him, if the case be so with a man be with his wife, it is good not to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save to them, save to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Bottom line is, you know, my pastor say, if you can tell if you got the gift. Because what he's talking about is the eunuch is they'd actually literally castrate them. Okay? I don't want to go into too many details because there's some minors listening too. But they would castrate them, and I know they know it. They'd be on TikTok and everything else. But bottom line is they eliminate their sexual motivation. Okay, physically. They go through a physical operation and it diminishes their sexual desire. Okay? And that because they that way they don't have to marriage. You know, I heard was listening to somebody speak on marriage today, and one of the reasons so many marriages are failing because they done bought into this ideology that they have the right to be happy. Yeah. All right, but that doesn't justify a divorce, okay? Because that ain't how God. This is what he's talking about. Because they got back then, it was simple. Your wife could leave, go to Kmart. You could hang a notice on the door, and she couldn't come in legally. That was it. She had to go find someplace, go back to her mama's house or something, and live, and that would be that. It was that simple. Ru wrote her a bill of divorce. Now, mind you, the men could do that, but the women couldn't do that. And that's still in some cultures today. They still do that over in the Middle East, okay? But now and then here, I think 1969, it used to be really hard in America before 1969 to get a divorce. And then they come up with no fault. And then the divorce rate went to another level. See how long the devil been working on this process? Because he know marriage is directly connected to the kingdom of God. There would be no kingdom of God with man if it wasn't for marriage. I mean, that's the primary objective for that. The sad reality is from day one, since they completed the Bible, they have never really examined this issue. How is it that here we wait, 600 years later to have premarital counseling? I mean, that should be priority in every church. Matter of fact, this weekend, my home church, is having a two-day marriage session in which they will have a Q&A afterwards. Because it's about the kingdom of God. So that's what the church is supposed to be, preparing the kingdom of God, you know, and they've got off into a whole lot of stuff, you know. I mean, it's something, I don't want to get too far, but it's just too far off of what God designed it for. I mean, he said it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what it was about. I mean, come on now, it's a simple process. Well, it ain't that simple. But he outlined it. He detailed it. Let's look at some details. Okay. God, like I said, let me see here. Okay. I make too many notes. All right. But anyway. Well, I want you to see, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, now, I want to go, let's see here. Bottom line is, you want to do it God's way. Understand that marriage symbolizes the relationship between God and man. I don't even get into that debate about who the bride of Christ is, because you got to act right anyway at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to. You have to act right. Let's Leviticus 18. I wrote this down. I don't know where. I can't find my notes when I need them. W. Elia. Hallelujah. Well, bottom line is this. And like I say, committing adultery, yeah, and that's the other thing. See, two people, what Satan hate about a marriage is when two people are together and they praying together, they get things done, okay? And then when they have a child, that child increases the power of marriage. God set it up so that marriage would create, it multiplies power exponentially. Now, I'm going to leave that alone. Okay. Let's read Ezekiel 23:15-37. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Because I think I'm going to get through this today. I'm not going to get completely through. This here is the continuity of it. Because what this is referencing is how to get an idea of spiritual adultery. Now, I believe this might be too much. Well, anyway. I knew I had it down. Oh, okay. All right. But anyway, this is not good. All right. Ezekiel 23. Tell me, never had quiet time on the radio. All right. I'm going on. I don't know what's going on with my notes. But anyway, okay. So we'll go on to Leviticus chapter 18. That I'm absolutely sure about. This is where God changed the rules of marriage. You know, one of the questions I've been asked in the past is that where did Cain get his wife from? Well, God allowed marriage to the family, within the family. Incest didn't begin till God changed the law. Like it or not, nasty as strange as it sounds, that's the way it was. Okay? I mean, matter of fact, let me get this in the, I want this in the Amplified because it at least sound in English. But anyway, hallelujah. All right. Says in Leviticus chapter 18, it says, I am the Lord your God, so you shall keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a person keeps them, he shall live and she shall live. I am the Lord. No one shall approach any blood relative to uncover their nakedness, have intimate relations. I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, that is the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. And people do that. There's an island where one man breaks in all the virgins, still today in 2023, okay? There are some people talk about one of the things about how we became slaves, okay? When you don't live inside this law, you are fair game to Satan. That's another primary thing. See, you can debate what I say. One thing about it is Satan knows the truth. I think I intimated earlier that the tithing issue. America's paying for it now. I mean, it says it's plain, you know. People can do what they want. And like I said, God will. He said you are cursed with a curse, even this whole nation, okay? And he was talking to his people. Okay, COVID took a lot of people's finance and wealth, and this is just beginning. It ain't at its worst yet. Believe me, it is not at its worst. I see what's coming. That's why the Antichrist is going to create a stronghold and be able to create so much havoc, because people have displaced themselves. Okay, but bottom line is here, he in Leviticus chapter 18, he outlines who you can and who you cannot marry. Now, the word marry in and of itself is a word expressing coitus, C-O-I-T-U-S, which is a sexual act. Okay, and bottom line is, and throughout history, according to the Word of God, when you do that, that becomes your wife. That's wifing. Okay, I remember a man that he learned something the hard way. He was, we was in a lounge at work, and I was asked a question. Young lady asked me, what was fornication? She didn't know nothing about it. Because you have to remember, some people are raised in a culture where there's no God in the household. So, so she asked me, and I was explaining it to her. And this person that was listening called himself cutting into me, and I knew he was ignorant. But he basically was trying to say that only married people can commit sexual sin, that if you're not married, you can have sex with whoever you won't. But see, this is why I warn people about getting in God's business. 2 days later, he had 5 massive heart attacks at the young age of 38. Listen, stay out of God's business, and it is even more critical right now, okay, than ever. Let me look at this. Okay. But bottom line is, the main thing about this, that it goes back to the first commandment, you shall have no other God. Think about it. If you're at that age where you're sexually active, you know how much effort it takes to control that sensual aspect of your life. And this still is why God wants us to understand our spirit. See? We can't let it control. We cannot let this flesh desires take control of us. You know, it was a doctor I was listening to. She was talking about another issue, but she was pointing out and showing pictures of these little entities inside our body, where these little entities cry out for certain types of food. And I was amazed that they identified that there are portions of our body that are asked for sugar. Now, think about this. This thing make your body send a signal to your mind to make you go and seek out some sugar. It's just not, it's not your spirit. It's something else in your body. Mind you, but your body, if you've seen it under a microscope, any aspect of it, you will see a bunch of little entities crawling around. They have a minor level of intelligence, but they isn't strong enough to influence how you think. Now, again, this is what God is trying to prevent us, because, and I hate that I lost, I don't, I did I love that I did not get the notes that print out like I wanted it to, because, Israel, one of the things about it is, this is the key, one of the things that are growing today is idolatry. I mean worship, outright worship of demons and spirits. People don't think about them because they give them nice little names, but they're not the Word of God. And people want power, to access power without the righteousness of God. And Satan is giving them what they want. They think they have power. You got these little witches. I ran across one that think they put, see, they can command demonic, they don't command demonic activity. Demons just entertain them and they play out what would seem like that they have power, okay, by putting a curse on people's lives. But what it is a demon that is know that they're either dealing with a person with no power, or a Christian that doesn't know that they have power or know how to use their power and cause chaos in their life. And so they are thinking about when they see the chaos that they have some authority, when in all actuality they don't. I'm telling you, you're dealing with, this is the other thing, you have to understand you're dealing with, you're in a spiritual war. And as it has been said, that war began in the garden, and it has not ceased. See, so the commentary that Paul put out was just what Adam didn't know. That's why I knew that Adam, see, I know, I get it, Adam was perfect. Your babies are perfect until they start talking and walking, then that goes away. Okay, so that's why God demands us. He demands accountability. He knows you become perfect every time you repent. At that moment, you say, "Lord, forgive me." You go right back to the level of perfection. The blood of Jesus wipes it off. God casts the evil, whatever it is, the magnitude, the cause and effect don't have nothing to do with whether or not He forgave you. You know, if you murdered somebody, God will forgive you. You just had to go to prison, you know. The fact that you still go to prison doesn't mean He didn't forgive you. It's just that's the cause and effect. But you won't have to answer to God for that murder. Jesus answered for it. But the reality is that He demands accountability. And that's a simple process. Act like, well, I went a whole day without sinning, you know, but that's part of life. Because, as I said earlier, Satan at your right side, ready to resist. Not Satan himself, but one of his demons. Just as an FYI, Satan deal with leaders. He don't deal with, you'd have to rise up. He deal with pastors. He will go after pastors, especially pastors that are submissive, do what God say do, how they say do. Yeah, because that's going to bring forth the power of God in a great way against him. So, you know, this is why I don't, you know, I'd be amazed when I would see pastors get caught up, you know. But what wasn't amazing to me wasn't the pastor getting caught up. That's tactical warfare on Satan's part to go after the leadership. But how Christians react. As though they hit some level of perfection. You know, I see the post today, you know, that said, they hit it on the mark, that says, after you get through gossiping for me, pray for me so I can be perfect like you. You know, and I'm like, I got you. I hear you. I be trying, but I just come up short. Okay? But now here, again, like I said, this is an area because right now, see, right now, I guess one of the reasons God had me to reiterate on this is because the drug thing, it's legal now. And what that does is reduce your moral restraint tremendously, particularly if you're wordless, okay? And it heightens your senses tenfold. I remember them days. This is why people would just be so sex crazy when they be on drugs and all these meth and all that. That stuff heightens your sexuality to another level. And that's what people be after. That heightened sensualness, okay? God know that, you know? And so this is why He tell you not to entertain that. Because you, believe me, if you've seen it under a microscope, you would yet see another entity. See, we don't see it. We think, yeah, just smoke some stuff. No, believe me, you're taking in another entity. It has to be a living entity in order to affect you. If it, you know, you set your cell phone on your head, it ain't living. It's got molecules, but it ain't living like other living substance, and it won't have that same effect, you know. But trust me, then them drugs, you see them under, that's what, you never see scientists, they don't be looking at them with binoculars, they be looking at it under a microscope. There are pictures of that. And seeing they don't really know what it's going to do, and they're increasing the amount of the active chemical THC phenomenal, 10 times what it was back in the day in the 70s when I was using it. So I know it's making people crazier. They think they got it understood. They ain't got nothing understood. There's no regulation. All right. And then there's the other aspect is you got to be, because we have all these other cultures in this country now, you know, like the Indians, they all had their own God. Don't think being nice can get you into some serious trouble. You need to be word nice. This is what that first commandment is. You shall have no other God. You got a Buddha in your house. Get that thing out your house, because you have licensed Satan to come in your house. It's bringing chaos. Particularly black folk and their African artifacts. I went by a friend of mine's house and they went to Africa and they brought back some stuff. And I'm like, do you know what that represents? And they didn't know. I'm like, well, you know, do you know what entity it'll bring? The next time I went over there, they had paid some serious money for them. They got rid of them. This was the person that I know that had a prayer life. But I know they it seems simple. But see, you got to understand, Satan plays those kind of games. And so what he wants to do, just like I heard a term called Chrislam, you know, Christians and that's Islam. No, listen, you can call it what you want. You got to walk by the word, period, okay? God is not going to let you do both of them. You mess around. I tell you what, the rapture is going to be a divining time. It's going to be a dividing. And right now, when I hear men and women of God saying that the sheep are being separated from the goats, that's happening now. And it's going to increase. I'm telling you, there's a great trick coming from the devil, and it's going to come. See, just before the rapture, this is what I believe. Okay, I ain't heard it from nobody else. I know somebody, one other person. But it follows a pattern, okay? There's a book by Jonathan Cahn called The Paradigm, and it shows you the Bible has pattern. God is not as secretive as people make him out to be. He does the same thing. He says he never changed. So people expect, they take scripture and they use that as an excuse, you know? And one of the reasons God don't give you the day of the rapture is because, like I just heard a preacher say, people will clown to 2 days before and straighten up. But see, what they don't know is once you get out there, Satan will slip up and kill you. And once you wind up in hell, ain't no oops, okay, I was going to straighten up Thursday. No, once you there, you there. See, you will get yourself caught up. You don't know when the rapture going to be here, and you don't know when you're going to leave here. So, you know, as I heard my brother say the last time I was in there, some folk going to get raptured before the rapture. And I've seen a lot of folk raptured since then. Now, but again, you don't want – another thing to think about in adultery is you don't want your mind of Christ to be mixed with any other mind. And so to know that it's happening – you have to be knowledgeable of the word. You have to be. Now, see, when you read through the Old Testament, they didn't have Bibles and Bible bookstores and YouTube and all that to get the revelation. All they got was what the priests, prophets, amen, and the king gave them, and that was it. See, so they had little scrolls and they call them phylacteries, and they had a scripture, you know, that they memorized, and they would hear the word spoken. They had oral revelation of the word, but they didn't even have commentaries until later on. But anyway, so bottom line is you want to state that this day and time in history is different than any other time in history, and you don't want to mix up anything. You want to be pure. Just as an FYI, Judaism and Christianity are not exactly the same, but Christianity foundation come from Judaism. That's what we reading on the word. That's why I'm reading from the Old Testament. That particular aspect is not adultery. Because that's why this is what I'm saying. The commandments for Christianity apply. People think that because we're under grace, you can live any old kind of way. If that was the case, Jesus would not have had to die. Okay, I don't understand how people could be that goofy. But again, what is this about? If I have no management over my life now, how do I impress God that once I'm out of this body, I will manage myself? Because that's when death stops. Once I leave this, death can no longer harm me. you know, whether you go to heaven or hell. I mean, it's just in hell, you just got to smell bad breath and butt funk for eternity, and it's hot. Ain't nothing worse than hot, funky breath and butt funk in a tight location, man. I was at the store the other day, and I was quick to, I just started mumbling a word of prayer for somebody that I could smell them. And I know that's if you ever experienced that, that's symptomatic of depression. You know, how they got there isn't our responsibility. Our prayers can bring about a change. All right? That's another reason for keeping your life in alignment with God. See, that's one of the strongest motivators for me living right. It's not just for me to get to heaven, but to help somebody else get there. Because I know if I'm living right, I can pray for somebody. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to break off right here. All right? With a notary. Because, matter of fact, I do want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 18, because that's a very important scripture. Very, very, very important. You know, because this is something. You know, I find people, Satan is good for tricking people into thinking they have no value. Okay. All right. Well, we read this. This is what it says. It says in 14, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, verse 14, say, do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. Now, mind you, the Corinthians were yet another culture, okay, a pagan culture. So Paul is intimating this to him. Now, mind you, Paul, he's trying to educate them into the things of God. Said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This does not just only pertain to marriage, okay? Who you hang around with can influence your life. Amen. Do not make mismatch alliances with them inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership can righteousness have with lawlessness? Or what fellowship can light have with dark? What harmony can there be with Christ and Belial, a.k.a. Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the living temple. We are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell among them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. So come out from among them, come out from among the unbelievers and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch the what is unclean. And I will graciously receive you and welcome you with favor. Hallelujah. And with that, we're going to conclude on the issue of adultery. Bottom line is, I think you get the revelation, like I say. And if, like I said earlier, if you've been married, I've been married more than once, amen. And once God forgive you, he forgive you, period, okay? Because it's not a simple issue, I'll put it like that. But it could have been done better had there been more teaching on it. Thank God there's teaching now. Thank God that he's so merciful that he let all that pass, amen. So bottom line is, and understand it, God, again, marriage is about the kingdom of God, not just you having fun. It ain't about just sex. It ain't about just having fun. But there's a lot of joy. You know, I was watching a video today of a little boy, you know, and it was such a joy to watch him enjoying himself getting in trouble, you know, because he had to pay for his. But it's still a joy. You know, that's why we let kids get away with such stuff. Some of the things they do are so funny. But you know what children remind me of? You know, they remind me of me. That's the whole thing about it. How I look to God. That's one of the things they remind me of. All right? So maybe it's the first time you heard this, or the first time you heard this service. Amen. Heard a message like this, or heard a teaching. This is a life that's not as it's complicated, but it's a life you can win at, because millions, billions have won at it, and we have more available to us today. God is merciful. That means you're guilty, but he, once you acknowledge and your accountability, account for your actions, he'll forgive you that quick. 1 John 1:9, he said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because he will educate you in how you got into the shape that you were. But we were all born this way because of Adam's sin, and that was going to happen. But that does, there's no exemption there. The fact that Adam did it, it was passed on to us, and we have to give account for it. Now, the price that it cost, we really couldn't pay. God paid for it with the blood of his own son. That's the demand he set, and that's the demand that was met. The difference between me and Jesus is Jesus never sinned, ever, never, ever sinned. He didn't say nothing wrong. He didn't do nothing wrong. He never sinned, and nobody else can say that. So with his life, God accepted the sacrifice of his life in exchange for ours. We accept and acknowledge him as Savior. So, and that process is simple. If you want to know the difference, read Leviticus chapter 4 and compare it to this. Just say, Lord God in heaven, I believe that you are God and God alone. And I believe that all men were born in sin. And I believe that you paid for our sin with the blood of our own son. And I ask you for forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that I am saved and I am born again and I am forgiven. Amen. It's that simple. That's simple. Now, when you do that, God wipe whatever was on your past. Like I said, that cause and effect, that's on the man's side. But on heaven's side, your slate is clean. Isn't that amazing? Your entire slate from the time you were born is clean. And this is the, you have the other benefit of this covenant. That's what you have established, is the covenant between you and God. If you sin, and it's going to happen, because there is a devil out there, just simply say, Lord, forgive me and teach me your way. And God will forgive you that quick. He won't, you know, the devil will harp it in your ear. Don't never believe the devil when he tell you that you're still guilty. No. Once you ask God for forgiveness, that's done. Because you remember it, doesn't mean God. God said, I cast it as far as the east from the west, never to be remembered no more. Amen. That's how much he loves us. His intention is for us to succeed, not fail. Amen. So with that, remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling on my friends asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today.
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today.
Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today, today.
So fast,
life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Today, today.